But I want us to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm not going to have you stand just yet. I will here in a few moments. But look in verse number 1. These are verses that I remind each of us every single year when we get ready for our missions conference. And there are some perhaps that you've not been at one of our missions conferences before. Maybe you've been at missions conferences in the past. We have what's called a Faith Promise Missions Conference. I would hope and I pray, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. What I will be doing next Sunday is I will be handing to everyone a missions commitment card, and on that card, one side of it, oh, it's in my other Bible, one side of it is going to have the small little tab that you write down as a reminder to yourself what you have promised the Lord as far as your faith promise is concerned, and then the other is what, the larger portion is what you will turn in, and we use that then that we can tabulate what has been promised. There's no record, no place for you to put your name. I don't want your name. I don't want to know who it is. My question that I ask of you is, how much are you, has the Lord led you to give? How often are you going to promise the Lord that you're going to give that? And then I like to know the age as well. It kind of helps me as I'm setting a budget. Many years ago, in fact, the very first missions conference that we had in 2007, Brother Morris, Peter Morris, who was just here this past Wednesday and preached for us, he put me in contact with a man that used to teach missions at Hiles Anderson. And Brother Cox taught me how to set a budget, and I have used that framework for a budget all of the years, and so that we know how much we're going to establish in our giving, a percentage of what is promised to the Lord, and a percentage goes to foreign missions, a percentage goes to evangelists, a percentage goes to stateside, state-bound missions, and then a percentage is given to special projects. And of course, wrapped up in that special projects would be some of what we use for the missions conference itself. And so I want us to know a little bit about that. You're not promising me. You're not promising Coastal Light Baptist Church. You're promising the Lord. That's who you're making the promise to. However, you are making that promise through Coastal Light Baptist Church. And so I believe we all understand that. But I want us to see just a little bit here in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And remember, Macedonia is an area. It's not the city, but it's an area. The two cities that we think about, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, actually, those are in the area of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and, or I'm sorry, through, let me begin again, verse number 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That is my prayer for our missions, is that we would each and every one first say, Lord, I will give of myself. It might be the Lord would put upon your heart to go to the foreign field. It might be the Lord would put upon your heart one day to do something for the cause of Christ in terms of a full-time service for the Lord. But I believe that God would speak to every heart of every believer, that His word would be propagated throughout the world. And the way that that is done is to give to worldwide missions. As we go on in verse number 6, it says, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, the end of verse number 7 says, see that ye abound in this grace also. Those last few words, abound in this grace also, those words are the theme to this year's missions conference. Now, I believe, I realize I didn't put the dates in the letter that I sent out to all of you, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I put the theme for our conference in that letter. Oftentimes, I won't say anything about it until we get right there. I've got the banner similar to what we had last year that will be put up here on either side with that theme, with that statement, abound in this grace also. Well, my prayer would be that we would be abundant. I prayed about and I thought about that word abound, to be bountiful, to be abundant. And it gave me kind of thought of even our own earth and the growth and as God is bountiful to us. And so Brother Goins took that, and the banner that we'll see here next week, he kind of gives us that understanding. But the understanding that we really need to see is in our faithful stewardship to God concerning our missions giving. I'm always thankful to those, and I don't know who it is, but I'm always thankful to those who would say, I want to make sure that I finish out 100% of what I promised to God. I would not want for any of us to make a promise to God and then to be negligent and say, well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't finish it out because I just didn't have the money. Understand, true faith promise says, Lord, I don't have the money in the first place. But I, by faith, will trust that you have put it upon my heart an amount that you will give through me. We've talked about it before, many different ways in which God will provide that money. It might be in the terms of a bonus that you get at work. And so rather than thinking to yourself, I got a bonus, I can go buy that thing, or I can go here, or I can do that, perhaps the Lord's saying, but you made a promise to me, and I'm providing that back to you. I usually, each year, we have a little film up here that talks about a man and his wife, and they sit down, and he says, I really believe that we should start giving to missions. And she says, but honey, I thought that we had decided we weren't going to take on any more debt or any more expenditures. And he said, but I just can't get this out of my mind. And so they made whatever commitment it was, and then he turned and he decided that he was going to sell whatever it was. I forget what it was in the little film that we have. And she said, well, how much did we get? And he said, just enough to make our faith promise that we'd promised to God. So I don't know how it is that God's going to meet it for you. I don't know what it might be that God would say, here's what I want you to do. Here's the amount that I want you to give. I have no idea. It's between you and God. But I do pray that we would be faithful with this. Now take your Bibles, go back over if you would to Luke 24. Tonight I want to bring a message entitled, The Christ of Missions. The Christ of Missions. I want to do my best to kind of combine the understanding, the thought of missions, the conference that is just around the corner that will begin just next week. But as well as the Christ that we see crucified for us and that which He has given to us. And of course, we'll do in remembrance the Lord's Supper here tonight. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to read verses 46, 47, and 48 out of Luke chapter number 24. In verse 46, it says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Let's have a word of prayer here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask you to be with us tonight as we look at the Christ of missions. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded of what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember the suffering that you did for us, Lord, on our behalf. And dear God, I pray you would help us to think about that as we observe the Lord's Supper here tonight. But Lord, I also pray that you would help us to see, dear God, as these two thoughts you have tied together in Scripture, not just the crucifixion, but that now, Lord, you have placed that upon us, and you have said that that same message should be taken throughout all of the world. Lord, I pray that we would do that. You say there, Lord, that it should begin right there in Jerusalem. And Lord, we see over in Acts where you have given power that we would do such work. And dear God, that it would start in our home city. And so, Lord, we don't live in Jerusalem, but Lord, I pray that we would start right here in Charleston. And then that we would push throughout all of the city. And Lord, we would push throughout all of the state. And we would push throughout all of the country. And Lord, we would then push throughout all of the world, taking your message. Even though we will never step foot on those soils, Lord, we can send money so that some would. I pray that you would bless our meeting here this evening, our teaching, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to be seated. Now, there in Luke 24, we were looking at this passage a few verses up earlier, here just a couple of last week, maybe a week and a half ago. And We saw where he is, these two that are on the road to Emmaus as they're walking together, and they didn't know that it was Christ that had risen, and now he's walking with them on the road and talking with them. And you remember how when we get down to verse number 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on all the scripture, the things concerning himself. And I pointed out that even though later he says, go ahead and put your hands in my hand and handle me and see, he began with his word, even more important to him than the physical proof. But if you look, if you go back up here to verse number 39, he says, in fact, verse number 38, he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. In verse number 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The scriptures that he went over, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets of the Old Testament. He expounded unto them, and now he opens their understanding. And they begin to realize the Christ of Calvary that had risen from the dead. Man, we praise God for that. I praise the Lord for the resurrection. And so now he's saying, a spirit does not have flesh and bone as I do. Go ahead, handle me. I've already ascended to heaven. I've put my blood on the mercy seat. Now I've come back. Now it's fine for you to feel my hands and my side. It truly is me. But then he gets down to the point of the matter in verse 46. He says, it is written that it would behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead that third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning right here in your own city. If you're taking notes, I want you to write some things down. First, I want you to see that we have the command of Christ to missions. We have the command of Christ to missions. In verse number 47, it says, repentance and remission should be preached in his name among all nations. That's what we endeavor to do. The 26 missionaries that we support right now, those that we will, Lord willing, be able to pick up during our missions conference, those individuals, we're able to send them out throughout all of the world. And even though I can't go, maybe you've gone on a mission trip before. Some of you I know have. We've had you raise your hands before. Some have gone here and some have gone there. Not everyone has had the opportunity. Not everyone will be able to go over. Not everyone can uproot or has the ability to uproot their family and go over into a foreign land, but I thank God for those who do. And so we have the command of Christ to missions. In Mark 16, in verse number 15, it says, He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The same is repeated in Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission. But you see, Christ, he ties the Great Commission in with the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Because that's what we preach. That is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel. Here just today, I read about Brother Tyler Nickel over in Papua New Guinea. And he's saying that the buses were filled for both of their morning services this morning. They're over in Papua there, and pretty close to the time frame, I guess, of Brother Child's, about 12 hours ahead. And so when we were starting our service this morning, they were getting ready to go to bed. And they had their vans were full. And he's talking about preaching the gospel to those in Papua New Guinea. The death, burial, and resurrection. The observance of the Lord's Supper. What it represents to the child of God. That is a command of Christ to take missions throughout all of the world. But we also see something as we turn the page. We leave Luke and we go over into John. And in verse number 1, the familiar passage, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you go to verse number 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. I want you to write down, secondly, the concern of Christ for missions. I know it's not original with me, but Jesus was the first missionary. Jesus was the first New Testament missionary. Leaving his home, leaving the splendor of heaven, out of the ivory palaces I always talk about, into a world of woe. We think of the missionaries, not all of them meet obstacles, not all of them face danger, not all of them face their lives being persecuted. And sometimes we know, of course, many missionaries have lost their lives on the foreign field trying to take the gospel to an individual. But we do read about Jesus Christ, the first of the New Testament missionaries, and he, it says, came to his own, and his own received him not. He had great concern for missions. He had great concern for taking the Word of God to anyone who would listen. In Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's a great concern of Jesus Christ for those that don't know Him, for those who have never been saved. And so we should then see that concern, and we should say, "Lord, I have a concern. I have a care. I have a desire that the gospel would be taken into the foreign land, that the gospel would be preached to those in South Korea, as Brother and Mrs. Brown will be going over to South Korea, and they'll be in the same country as Brother Yu and his wife, and preaching to anyone who will listen. That Brother and Mrs. Peyton would go down to Nicaragua. He has dual citizenship. He's concerned right now because Nicaragua has put a stop on any missionaries coming in. He says, "Oh, would you pray with me? I want the door to be open." He says, "I don't believe it's really going to affect us tremendously because I have dual citizenship. His mother is Nicaraguan." But he wants to go down there. Brother Stalnaker already down there. Brother Stalnaker said it shouldn't affect him because he's already there. But now he gets to go down in the same country and have a concern for them. Oh, do you have a concern for those in South Korea, for those in Nicaragua? Do you have a concern for those in Germany? Do you have a concern for those in Kenya, for those in China? Do you have a concern for those that you get to have the gospel preached to you at every point? Seems like every time I open the Bible in this pulpit, I talk about the gospel of God. But there are many that never get the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The banners that we have, we'll probably have them over in the fellowship hall this year. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the banners, and I forget who it is that made the statement, we in the United States, we talk over and over and over and over about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and half the world has never heard about the first time. We talk about His second coming, that's what it is. We talk about His second coming, and half the world has never heard about His first coming. Oh, do you have a concern? Christ had a concern for missions. Do you have such concern? The third thing I want us to see is found there in John chapter 1, verse number 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I want you to write down the commitment of Christ to missions. Faith, promise, commitment. That's what I will be asking of you to support the missionaries that we already have and be able to take on many more. Faith, promise, commitment. Commitment means I will not turn back and I will not say no. Commitment means that when things are difficult, I will do what I've promised. That's commitment. You know, we would never expect someone who has made a commitment to his wife or she to her husband, we would never say, "Oh, well, it's all right. You don't have to fulfill that commitment. I mean, things are difficult at home, I know. It's a real struggle. Don't worry about that commitment." Now, that's what the world says. But that's not what the gospel preaches. That's not what the Bible preaches. That's not what I will ever preach from this pulpit. The commitment means that difficult days, you follow through. The commitment means ugliness, you follow through. Especially for the wives looking at their husbands, amen. But commitment, when we say, all right, I made a commitment to the Lord, that means when difficult days come, I look to God and I say, Lord, I made a promise to you. I made a commitment to you. We see the commitment of Christ to as many as received him. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He made a commitment to me that I could be a child of God. I could be one of his sons. This commitment. In Galatians 6 and verse 14 it says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We think about the Lord's Supper here tonight. We think about the crucifixion, the blood that was shed, the broken body that we'll observe. And we think about that crucifixion. And Paul says, listen, the world, I am crucified unto the world, and it to me. Listen, I will not let anything stand in the way of my commitment to Christ, is what Paul is trying to say. Oh, that we would see the commitment of Jesus Christ to missions. But we also see in verse number 15 there of John chapter number 1, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. If you write down number 4, the continuation to Christ for missions. You see, the entire gospel is nothing more than a story about missions. A story that continues on over into the epistles of the apostles and those who were willing to take the word of God to areas where it was not now being preached. Start where you are. Start right here in Jerusalem. But let's not stop in Jerusalem. Let's go out into Samaria. Let's go out into Judea. Let's go out into the uttermost parts of the world. And let's do it at the same time as you're preaching it right here. That's what the word both means in that particular passage in Acts chapter 1 and number 8. So we see the continuation of missions. So now we go from Jesus and that which we read about over here in Luke and him telling them, I have been crucified for you. I suffered for you. I died for you. I rose for you. Now I want you to take that into the world, and I don't ever want you to stop. Just continue doing it. Continue doing it. You know, I don't know when it was that you might have begun giving to Faith Promise Missions. 1990, we had just started Regency Baptist Church. We had started in September, and that October, we had a man by the name of Doug Calab. I don't know if any of you ever heard of Doug Calab. None of you ever heard of Doug Calab? Brother Calab, he's home with the Lord right now. He came to Sacramento, and he preached our first missions conference. And I remember my wife and I talking about it, and we made a faith promise. And that was the first time that I ever, as a married man, that was the first time that I had ever made a faith promise. The church that we had met at, we had missions conferences, but for whatever reason, I don't remember. We probably did something, but well, I remember ringing true there in 1990. And listen, I'm not trying to tell you this because I think I'm great or anything, but since 1990, I've said, listen, that's what we're going to do. My wife and I are in perfect agreement with that. That's just what we're going to do. There have been times where there's been a struggle for this reason or a struggle for that reason, but that's the one thing that we've said that will not stop, that will not fail. We see a continuation to Christ for missions. We see it through John. John now is picking up. Jesus now is wanting him to preach about himself. He is saying, John, I want you to bear witness of me. And so John did. And he said, I will. And of course, it's John that in verse number 29 says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So we have a continuation of missions. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 2, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Yesterday afternoon, the funeral that we had for Norman Callaway. I didn't know Norman. I had met him only one other time when his son passed away in 2007. And they had asked me to preach his son's funeral. And now Norman lay in front of me. And I had prepared a message. And yesterday morning, God started working on my heart about the passage out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I was, but Lord, I've already got a message prepared. I've got everything done. And I continued to pray about it. And I didn't write anything down. I didn't go to my office and change it. And I got down to the funeral home and began going through it. And even while people were talking, and they were talking about the deceased, of course, as oftentimes at funerals they will do, and it just continued to ring true to me. And as I began as I typically would, and I read the 23rd Psalm, and I stopped and I said, folks, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. And I began speaking as God had laid it on my heart out of 2 Timothy, where it says those verses that I just read, where it says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit out of faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I said, I didn't know Norman well at all, but from what I hear about him, what all you have said about him, he was a man of influence. I looked across those who were there and I said, he influenced you, each one of you. But let me tell you about a man who influenced all of us. And I got to tell them about Jesus Christ. We got to give the gospel to them. But I want to ask you here this evening, who are you willing to influence? You know, you have, through Faith Promise Missions, the opportunity to influence people that you will never meet. You have opportunity to influence people that you will never speak to on this side of heaven. You'll never get to shake their hand. They'll never get to say to you, thank you for bringing gospel to me. They'll never get to look at you as that dear young lady did yesterday. I prayed that prayer today as she thanked me for preaching the gospel, something that I love to do as much as I love to breathe. I would say as much as I love to eat, but I don't love to eat. But I do love to breathe. That's a good one, right? Oh, that we would be able to say, maybe one day in heaven, because we were willing to just continue. We were just willing to continue. It might be, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're praying. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I just don't think I can do missions again this year. I just don't think I can commit to you about that this year again. Could I ask you, would you just continue? Would you just continue? Now, you do what the Lord is going to lay on your heart, because I'll never ask you to supersede what God has asked you to do. But would you pray and say, Lord, would you give me that spirit of continuing? Just help me to keep doing what I know that I should do. The last thing I want you to do is I want you to look back in Luke 24 again. Go back over to Luke 24. We read down there and we stopped in verse number 48. Look at verses 49 and 50. In verse 49 it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now we know then, of course, it transitions over into Acts, and he sends them out. They didn't go out until Acts chapter 8, number 1, and then God forced them out. We know that. But it says, it begins in verse number 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Verse number 50 says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. If you will, number 5, the commendation of Christ for missions. He commends us in taking the gospel that God has given to us. As it says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, I believe personally he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's going to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't present yet. But I promise you, God, my Father has promised you, and I commend it to you. I give it to you to carry it to the rest of the world. Oh, the promise of the Holy Spirit's going to come. He goes out as far as to Bethany. He lifts up his hands and he blesses them. That commendation. You know, you receive a commendation, those of you in the military, you receive a commendation for different things. And it's the recognition. It's, if you will, the blessing. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks and he blesses them. He commends them. And that's why I say that we can see the commendation of Christ for missions. Will he commend you? Will he commend you one day for being faithful to support worldwide missions? Will he look at you and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I left with you the instruction to take my word into all of the world. And even though you couldn't go into all of the world, you were willing to send those who would go. I commend you for it." Well, I want to hear that from my Lord. I want to hear that from my Lord. I don't give missions. I have never made a faith promise so that someone would know. Again, nobody knows. I give it because I want to hear my Lord say, "Well done. I commend you."
That's good.
I want the blessing of God for just simply being obedient. As we began, we think back and we look back at verse 46. It behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. We look up at verse 39. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see." Well, tonight we don't have the very body and blood of Christ. But as we observe the Lord's Supper, it reminds us, and that's the whole purpose. This evening, I don't know, there might be something that is between you and the Lord. There might be a sin that you need to confess. I would ask you this evening, would you confess it before God? Before we take the Lord's Supper, would you get things right between you and the Lord? Maybe you would have to say, "Lord, I have been negligent. I have not been faithful in my faith promise. I made a promise to you, but I have not. Lord, I forgive me." I would ask God to forgive me. I would say, "Lord, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm going to get that because I made you that promise. But before I take this Lord's Supper, I ask you to forgive me because I've not been faithful as I promised you that I would." Well, I hope that you'll do that this evening. Well, I hope you'll listen to the Lord as He teaches us about missions. Let's have a word of prayer.